Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Morning, church. Good to see all of you back. Please be seated and welcome to Church of the Savior. And today is Holy Communion, so you know we have announcements later on. But if you're new with us, new in Church of the Savior, we want to welcome you. My name is Daniel. And, you know, we are a down-to-earth church, and we're so glad you can be here this morning, because this is one of those mornings that you have to set two alarms, right? Because, you know, it's nice and cool, it's been raining all night, but, you know, it's better to be in the house of God. One day in the house of God is better than 1,000 days without Him. Amen? Okay, so we have come to the end. Okay, you guys have persevered, and we have gone through so much, you know. I mean, we looked at the history of the New Testament, we looked at four Gospels, like, sort of like general characters, and we looked at so many of the parables, and almost all today have come to the last of the parable of the kingdom, right? So this has been quite a journey. I hope you have been learning something, among other things. Last week, you remembered not to be like a monkey, right? So you're supposed to be like God, you know, celebrate the grace of God rather than to compete with one another. Okay, so today we are looking at the parable of the talents, right? The parable of the talents, and this is actually in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30, also in Luke. And I've come to call this last section, fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. Okay, everyone say fruitfulness. Okay, just want to make sure you're awake, right? So, fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. This is actually the longest parable. 17 verses in all. And actually comparable, I suppose, last week's one was about 16 or 17, I'm not sure, right? So, very similar. One of the longest, if not the longest, of the parables. And we saved it for last. But it's also a very important parable, because Jesus preaches this parable probably more than any of the others, alright? In different parts of the Gospels, right? So this week, this is what we're going to look at. Now, last week, we were looking at the subject of grace. You know, the kingdom of God is really so much about grace. And God doesn't look at, you know, how long you work, whether you came early in the morning, 6 a.m. or 12 in the noon, or even 5 p.m. God's grace is the same to everybody, right? He gives freely to everybody. Amen? I think we are thankful for that, because, you know, frankly, if we were up to what we deserve, we probably wouldn't get very much. But this week, we want to look at the other hand. Because it's also, there's also responsibility. There's also another hand that's involved in this story. So today, that's what we are looking at. Fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. Okay, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And I'm just going to read it and talk as we go along. Okay, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Okay, so this master is going off on a long journey. Right? The Bible says he knew the New King James Version, which I just read. And because he was going to be away for so long, you know, he couldn't be around. So he had to, you know, he had to entrust, or at least he has to delegate some of the duties to his servants. So he called servants to them, and the Bible says here, he delivered his goods to them. Now that sounds to me like UPS or FedEx, okay? I delivered my goods to you. But actually, in the Greek, it's not like this. In fact, the New American Bible, a New American Standard Version Bible, has a slightly better translation. It says, entrusted, right? He entrusted to them his possessions. Now, even that doesn't come very close, okay? See, the Greek word here is paradoken. Paradoken actually has a slightly different meaning. It goes something like this. Imagine you are going off on a long holiday, right? And some of you, maybe end of the year, you're going on a holiday. Most of the time, you're back in 1 week or two. But suppose it was a long trip. Maybe your company sent you for overseas attachment for, let's say, 3 months or 6 months. Now, you're going to be away for so long, you'll be thinking, oh, who's going to look after my house, okay? Who's going to look after my car? Because, you know, if you had a car, you have to turn on the engine every now and then, just make sure, you know, the oil circulates and so on and so forth, right? So, now you call your friends to you and say to him, I'm going to be away for 6 months, all right? And I can't use my car, I can't use my house. You know what? I'm going to entrust this to you, okay? I'm going to let you use them while I'm away. So I'm entrusting. So this is not just delivering the goods to him, right? This is really not just entrusting even. It is to give your friend an opportunity to use these things while you're away. Do you follow? Okay, paradoken is a little bit more like this. It's kind of hard to translate that, capture that very nuanced meaning in English. But that's what it means. So when the Bible says that the master entrusted to them, what he was really doing, he was granting them, the servants, an opportunity, right? well, the master is going away, that became an opportunity. So an opportunity was being presented, right? Opportunity, if you like, is knocking on the door. 40 servants, master go away, I get to use the master's car, right? Or I get to use the master's house, or I get to use the master's, I guess, swimming pool or something like this, right? Now, wouldn't you like to be entrusted with something like that, right? Would you like to be entrusted with something like that? How many of you would like to be? I think we all would, especially when you think of swimming pool, right? Yeah, that would be nice. Or car, right? Okay, the good news is you are all entrusted with something. Maybe not a swimming pool, but something. We'll get on with that, okay? Let me just continue reading. So now he called these guys up. He entrusted to them. An opportunity was given to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Okay? Now you remember from last week. 1 talent is a large sum of money, right? It's 16 years worth of salary or 6,000 denarii. That's a big, big, big sum of money. And I'm saying this because I think sometimes when we read this parable, we kind of feel sorry for the guy who got 1 talent, right? Because you know what? The other guy's got 5, he got 1, and a poor thing. Okay, no, don't be poor thing to him, right? That's a bit like saying, oh, you got 5 million, you got 2 million, you got $1 million. Oh, you poor thing, you only got $1 million. Look, it's a lot of money, okay? Even the guy who only got 1 talent got a lot of money. You get it? Right? So even if all of you, the minimum, right, you guys have all been entrusted with a lot. Even if you are the least, it's still a lot, okay? So I don't want you to go pitying that 1 talent guy because he got a lot of stuff, okay? Okay, now, when the master goes off, the Bible tells us that in verse 16, the guy who received 5 talents, he went and traded with them and he made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who received 2, gained 2 more also. Okay? So both of them, 5 got 5 more, 2 got 2 more. What's the ROI on this? 100%, correct? I mean, you got 5, you made 5 more. Both of them actually had the same ROI. Different quantity, but same increase. But the third guy, verse 18, but he who received 1, he went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, okay, accounting comes, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts. How many of you know Jesus is coming back again? Right? That's going to be an ending to this whole thing, right? I mean, God, please let that be an ending. Otherwise, I have to preach so many sermons, right? That will be an ending to this whole thing, okay? Okay. So now the master comes, and verse 20, he who received 5 talents came. He brought the other 5 talents, right? And he says to the Lord, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Or if you like, you entrusted to me 5 talents. Look, this is what I've done with it. Okay? I've gained 5 more talents besides that. You let me use your car. Look, now I managed to use your car. I got 2 cars now, right? You can have your car back and I have 1 car, right? All right. Okay, so anyway, sometimes my mind runs off in the wrong direction. Okay, so his Lord said to him, what we want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servants, right? You are faithful over a few. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I mean, this is the commendation we will all like to hear when you stand before the Lord. Amen? You know what that means, right? That means we will all stand before the Lord. Okay? I mean, in all the parables of Jesus, you find that this is a recurring theme, that there is an ending. The ending is whether at the end the angels will come and sort out the wheat from the tares, or where the farmer will come and with a sickle, or whether the fisherman will pull up the net and will sort out the good from the bad, or the sheep from the goat. That is a sorting out at the end. Almost all of Jesus' parables have this notion of an ending, okay? So this is not like an open-ended thing that will go on forever and ever. There is an ending, at which point there's an accounting, okay? So that's a reality. And at that point, that is when you want to hear this good commendation, okay? Now the second guy comes along, he says, oh Lord, you know, you gave me 2, and look, I have gained 2 more besides, okay? Well, you gave me 1 swimming pool, and look, I got 2 swimming pools now, okay? I've been digging another swimming pool, or something along. He had another swimming pool. You know, I wonder, if your friend entrusted to you his house, and went away for 10 years, would you come back and say, you know, while you were away, I rented out your house to foreigners. I made a lot of money. And as a result, I managed to buy a small apartment over there. Okay? Something like this. Okay? Not suggesting that's a good way to go, but you know, Okay, so his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful. Same comment, the exact same commendation, right? You are faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Why the same commendation? Because the same ROI, ma, right? Five got five, same as two got two, right? They got this exact same reward. So God is fair, okay? So both of them, you know, they did well. Now this way you kind of get to the, I kind of ran ahead of myself there. Okay, pause for a second, right? So why didn't they all get the same amount? Why did God give one talent? Why did God give one, two talent, five talent? Well, the Bible actually tells us in verse 15, it says that they were given the talents according to their own ability. Okay, everyone say ability. Okay, the Greek word is power or capacity, right? So God gives us opportunities, grants us opportunities, or entrusts things to us in accordance to our own capacity or our own ability. When I say ability and capacity, I don't just mean resources like, you know, I have a lot of money, so God gives you, you know, it's not that kind of thing. But it can also mean your willingness. That's also a kind of capacity, right? Some people are unwilling, so their capacity is very small, even though maybe practically they might have the ability to do something. So abilities and capacity. Now, according to your capacity, God will entrust more or less to you, right? So God is not unfair. God is looking. Now, if God gives you more than your capacity to handle, you're going to get crushed under it, right? God gives you less than you can handle, then you're going to get bored doing it. So God gives you exactly according to your capacity. That means that if you want to be entrusted with more, then you have to be increasing your capacity. You have to be increasing your ability, right? So that your attitude is correct. So, Lord, I can do it. You know, when I was in my first Anglican church, second parish where I'm pastoring at, you know, the vicar one day said this, he's just making a staff meeting, a comment. I thought it was something I remembered. He said, imagine you're playing football, right? Who will you pass the ball to? You pass the ball to the guy who's eager, right? The guy who wants to play, who wants to win. That's the guy. You won't pass the ball to the one guy sitting in a corner, he takes the ball, sit down on the bench. That's not the guy you pass the ball to, right? So the guy who's eager, not just because of his ability to play football, but also because of his willingness, right? So when God is looking at you, this is what he's looking at you. He's looking at you, first of all, do you have the ability, right? Can you do it? But beyond that, do you have the capacity in your heart to want to do this? Because quite frankly, I think there are a lot of people who don't want extra responsibility, right? There are quite a lot of people, when God says, I want to trust and trust things to you, and say, no, I'm scared, I don't want, okay? I'm very content to be very little, this is enough for me, okay? There are some people who's, then by so doing, your capacity is little, and therefore, you're entrusted with less. And of course, then you get to make less, okay? So anyways, there's this whole thing about our capacity determining our opportunity. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, your capacity determines your opportunities. Right? So if you don't have enough opportunities in life, don't blame God. Right? Think about your capacity. Sometimes maybe God has already given you the opportunities. You might not recognize it as an opportunity. Maybe you might think of it as an inconvenience, right? I know my daughter works in this advertising company. Where in Japan, they work very long hours, very, very long hours, right? And she's the only one in the whole company can really do English translation. That is an advantage because, you know, you're not Japanese, you know, they're not very good at English. Okay, most of them are not anyway. So she says, oh, she has so much work. I tell her, don't worry. Okay, first of all, don't be like the one who committed suicide in the Dentsu guy, right? Okay, don't do that. Okay, don't work too hard. But don't look at it as inconvenience. Look at it as opportunity. Because you are the only one who can do it, you can prove that you are a really good worker, right? So sometimes you look at the situation, the opportunity may be there, but you don't have a capacity, you might look at it as inconvenience. You know, sometimes your workplace, why the boss always give me work? Maybe because the boss trusts you. But because you don't have the capacity or the attitude, you think of it as an inconvenience. Why the boss hates me so much, give me so much extra work, right? Okay, so anyway, we'll kind of move on from there, okay? Your capacity determines your opportunities. Okay, now we're told, after a long time, the master returns to settle accounts, okay? And as I mentioned already, you know, for many of us, what we want to hear the master say to us is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter, I'll make you a ruler over many things because you've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, this is the third guy. Okay, it's very good. Story gets a little bit interesting. Verse 24. first mistake he makes, okay? Okay, remember this guy, what was his ROI? 0%. Actually negative lah, because you didn't count inflation and all these other things like overhead costs and all that, right? So this guy, he shows up with to the master and he's got nothing in his hands except the original talent, okay? So the Bible says, verse 24. He who received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Now, this is his first mistake. Okay? I knew you. Okay. He should have said, Lord, I don't know. Right? I don't know what was going on. I'm very blur. But he said, you know. Okay, look, you know and you didn't do. That makes it worse. Do you agree? Can you imagine you go to your teacher and say, teacher, I know I'm supposed to pass up my homework today, but I didn't do it. Is it worse than, teacher, I didn't know I'm supposed to pass up my homework. Was there any homework? Okay, right? All of us know how to do that, right? Because you've been in school before. You know how to make excuses. Surely you won't tell them, teacher, I know I'm supposed to do it, but I didn't do it. No, that's bad. Okay, so this guy, not very smart lah. First thing he says, Lord, I knew you wanted this, but I didn't do it. Right? Not a very smart thing to do. Okay? Oddly enough, even though he knew the master expected a return, and the master does expect a return, he went and buried the opportunity that God gave him, or rather his master gave him, right? He buried it, and he basically did nothing with it. You have to wonder, I don't know how long the master was away, maybe 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 16 years, because one talent, right? Maybe the master was away for that long. So you have to wonder, what did this guy do all this time that the master away, since he was not working to increase or invest the opportunities? What do you suppose he might be doing? Maybe he was trying to finish the last episode of Moon Lovers, or, you know, I don't know, some of you watching this show, you laugh means you've been watching this. I don't watch this, but my wife does. Okay, so anyway, she's not here today. Alright, so, I don't know what he's doing with his life. But you know what? All of you have been invested by God. Okay? God has given you something. You don't want to show up to God and say, you know, I don't know what I've been doing all this while, right? So this guy, he comes and he doesn't bring anything to God, okay? So, the reason he gave was this. He says, because I was afraid. Because I was afraid. Now, what was he afraid of, do you suppose? Was he afraid that, you know, well, I don't know, man. My master is a hard man. I work so hard for him. He takes all the credit, okay? So I'm afraid that he'll take all the credit. Man, you know what? I'm not going to work so hard. You know, a lot of us in companies sometimes think like this. What for work so hard? You work so hard, you don't get any credit, right? In school also the same thing, right? We've all been training since young. In project groups, right? When you're in JCs and all that, right? One group of maybe 5, 6 people. Wow, 5 of them are playing the fool. One guy working very hard because he wants the grades, right? And then when you get the grades, everyone got the A. But only one guy really worked. You know this feeling, right? And then the guy will think, you know, what's the point? Why work so hard? Right? I won't get any credit. Do you have this experience? Yes. No. No lah, you know, we don't work for credit, we work for cash, you know, so. So anyway, this guy here, right? He gives some reason, he's afraid. Well, I think from the context of the parable tells us, I think the reason he's afraid was, he was afraid of failing. He was afraid of failure. He was afraid maybe, he was looking at the guy with 5 talents. Wow, the guy, 5. Well, I don't know, man. What happens if I invest and I lose the money and I cannot pay back? Oh no, cannot. You know, I'm afraid of losing the money. I'm afraid that I might not invest well. I'm afraid that maybe if I try, I might fail. So better don't try, right? I'll bury it. Maybe he feels that, what if I cannot earn as much? What happens if I earn a little bit? Maybe I better don't try. I'll bury this, okay? Then so when the master comes, he says, Master, when you left, you gave me. Now I come back to you, I give me back to you, okay? The master say, wrong answer, okay? Wrong answer. Because God expects something of us. So fear of failure robs you of your God-given opportunities, right? I know in Singapore, sometimes we are very afraid of failing. But you know, you look at history of the world, some of the greatest, I guess, entrepreneurs were people who tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed and finally succeeded, right? Imagine if they gave up or they're too afraid to try. You know, Thomas Edison, I don't know, man, what happened if I make a bulb and it burns out, then how? You know, today we'll still be using candles, probably, right? Well, I don't know, man. Over at Wilbur Wright. What happened if I jump out on this plane and I crash, how? They crashed many times before they actually flew, right? Today we're flying around like nobody's business. All these people, they achieved something because they were not afraid of failing. But sometimes, you know, we Christians, not very smart. We were too afraid to fail. Now, you know, if you don't invest, you don't have any profit, correct? Correct? God wants us to invest our lives. So, this person, because he did not invest, he showed up, you know, and says, Lord, you know, I was too afraid to fail. I buried it and here's what you get. Now, the master's reply was this in verse 26. The Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Wow. That's a little bit severe, isn't it? Why wicked? Well, because you knew and you still didn't do it. You knew and you still didn't do it. If you didn't know and you didn't do it, then maybe you blur servant, okay? But you knew and you didn't do it. That's why you are wicked and a lazy servant, alright? In fact, the master says, you knew I reap where I have not sown, I gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to, in other words, this is the expectation, you ought to, at the very least, have deposited my money with the bankers. So at my coming, I will receive back my own with interest, alright? Now, you know, bank today, you don't get, how much interest? 0. It's decimal point, not even 1%, right? 0.18% or something kind of interest like this, right? Now, the master is saying, look, at least if you put it there, maybe compound interest over 16 years, I would have gotten something. Maybe the commendation would not have been, oh, good and faithful servant, you know, you're faithful. Maybe the commendation is, man, that's really kind of miserable, alright? But it is something, it is better than nothing, come on in anyway, okay? That could have been the commendation. Not a great commendation, but this guy shows up with nothing at all. So listen, here's the rule with God. Don't show up with nothing at all. Don't show up empty-handed, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't show up empty-handed. Okay? No matter what you do, bring something to God. Amen? When you appear before God, make sure you bring something. When he asks you, what have you done with your life? Nothing. Wrong answer, okay? Please don't say the answer. Then he'll come and call me. Daniel, did you not teach them? I told them many times, right? Okay, so now I'm telling you again, don't say the wrong answer. Final exam, do not fail, okay? You fail, I fail, okay? It's like Titanic like this, okay? So, the master says, you ought to have deposited something, okay? Even if it's just interest, at least something is better than nothing. Point two talents is better than nothing at all. Okay? So, anyway, he says, don't show up empty-handed. Now, this parable, very easy to understand. Okay? Now, parables are like this. They're actually generally quite easy to understand. Where it's difficult to accept. Right? Understand easy. Then you go back and think about it. Wow, that's a bit severe. Sometimes it's hard to accept. That's why, you know, in the beginning of this series, I said that, you know, listening to parables, you've got to listen with your heart. And I pray that you have a faithful and a willing heart. So that when you hear it, you can accept it. Otherwise, you know, it falls on hard ground and the seed will not find good soil, okay? So, I pray that as you listen to this, it's very easy. Who is this master representing? Represents God, right? Obviously, it represents God, right? And then the servants represents who? Us, correct? Can't be Jesus, right? So, it represents us. So, this story is about God and us. It's the kingdom of God. And the talents, they represent the opportunities that God has given to each and every one of us. All the servants got some. Even the least of them got a big deal. One talent. It's a big, big amount, right? So every single one of you, you might think to yourself, but God, I got no talent. Listen, every one of you got talent. Whether you recognize it or not, it's another story, right? But every single one of you has been invested with some of the resources that God has given. Opportunities. God has entrusted in you. I mean, you've been living on this earth, right? And you know, we are living in Singapore. We have great opportunities in Singapore. Even the worst of us in Singapore have great opportunities compared to, say, someone born in Somalia or something like this, right? Or Rwanda. Those people can, maybe they have some legitimate reason to complain about their opportunities. But even in Singapore, we have great opportunities, right? And so God is going to expect something from us. So what we ought to do is we should seize every opportunity to be fruitful, right? We are supposed to invest. So seize every opportunity to be fruitful. You know, when you are investing, some of you invest your worldly wealth, right? And you have investment managers to come and tell you how to invest your worldly wealth. But first question they ask you is, what kind of investor are you? Right? Have you heard this question asked before? What kind of investor? Are you a high risk investor? Right? And then are you a medium or moderate risk investor? Or maybe you are a low risk investor. Correct? You heard this before? But you never heard them ask, are you a no risk investor? Correct? Because you know, no risk, no gain. Right? You don't put anything in. No, I don't put anything in. I just want to get. I also want. You know this kind of investment? Tell me. I also want. Right? Chances are it's Nigerian scam or something like that. Okay? No offense to Nigeria, but you know, they're very good at this. Okay, so all investment entails certain measure of risk taking. There's no guarantee. But that's what faith is about. You step out in a belief coupled with hard work. Okay, don't ever think that it's just risk taking. Okay, all those people like Steve Jobs, it's not just risk taking. It's risk taking plus lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of hard work. Okay, they say that, you know, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Okay, so don't be mistaken to think that when it comes to investment, it's all about taking risks. It's more than just about taking risks. It's about a certain attitude of not being lazy. Okay, working hard because of the precious thing that God has entrusted to each and every one of you. Okay, so now, this picture that we have just heard in this particular parable, like I said before, is frequently, in fact, most often preached by Jesus elsewhere. It repeats itself so many times in the gospel, I don't even know which one to tell you. So I just picked, you know, a few good ones to give you an idea of where Jesus says all these things. In Mark chapter 11, verse 12, this is what Jesus says. The next day, Jesus was traveling. They came out from Bethany and he was hungry. Jesus was hungry, right? Like many of you are probably feeling right now. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Okay? So, Jesus wanted to find, what do you think he was looking for on the tree? Fig, fruit, of course, not durian, right? It's a fig tree, right? So, he was looking for something to eat because he was hungry. Okay, when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. It was cursed. Okay, what a lousy tree. Let no one eat from you again. You know, later on when they're coming back, Peter noticed the tree had withered. And they thought, Jesus, you remember the tree that you cursed? It's withered. Okay, this is a living parable. What do you think, Jesus? First of all, many of us feel sorry for the fig tree, right? I mean, poor tree lah, our season all kena. Let me tell you, I feel no sympathy for a tree. Because when my mama, the mango tree in my house, no matter what season, it has leaves. It's dropping leaves every season. Fruit, no matter what season, no fruit, okay? So, I totally understand. I sympathize with Jesus. There are some trees that are just like that, okay? And Jesus says, look, I came, now, here's the point. What Jesus says is, you do not know when the Father is coming back, right? That's the parable of the 10 virgins. You just don't know. Anytime it comes back, you're supposed to be ready. In fact, in Revelation chapter 22, there's this tree, you know, I think it's 22 anyway, but there's this tree that bears fruit every month. Okay? It's just like us, you know, we Singaporeans, we don't have season. Every day, you can just go to Cold Storage and buy any fruit you like. Right? It's always, almost always in season. Right? Well, Jesus came to this tree expecting to find fruit. Now, if this tree is us, then Jesus expects us to be fruitful. So you have that picture there. Luke chapter 13. You can follow in your own Bibles if you like. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. Oops, got this wrong. Okay, are you following me so far? Okay, I'm trying to make time. He spoke to this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard or whichever the confusing vague English is. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Okay, another case. Right, this must... So Jesus liked this story. We probably don't like figs, and he liked vineyards, and he liked agricultural stories. So many of his sermons revolve around the same theme. Because you know why? Like I said before, Jesus was not randomly preaching stuff. He was actually delivering a curriculum, which he called the Gospel of the Kingdom. Right? So this is part of it. He repeats it so many times. Okay, so you have a tree, a fig tree in a vineyard, and the master had been coming to it and he found no fruit. So this is what he says. He said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit from this fig tree and found none. And I'm thinking, amen, I totally understand this. Okay, I chopped down that tree. So he said, cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Why am I investing resources? Why am I giving opportunities? Why am I granting opportunities to this tree? Because it's using up the ground and it's not fruitful. So cut it down. But the keeper answered, and this is why I call this parable second chance fig tree, right? He says, sir, let it alone this year. Give it chance, okay? Until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. Okay? Now, this has happened to me in my life with a mango tree, right? I keep telling my mom, this tree is useless. Okay? The only thing it does is generate work for me because I have to rake the leaves every day, practically every day. Somehow it grows so many. All the fertilizer goes into producing more leaves. Okay? So I want to chop it down. My mom says, give it a chance. Okay? I have seen this before. But I think, okay, first of all, you know what this parable is about? It's about us. It's about the master expecting fruit. Correct? This is what the master comes, looks for fruit. And secondly, it's about second chances. I mean, this particular fig tree, I mean, he came this close to losing it, right? But his life was extended. Now, some of us may be feeling like this. You know, I'm thinking, I don't know how many talents I started out with, right? Let's suppose, generously, I started out with 5 talents. But now more than half my life is gone. Means my original 5 talents has now depreciated to about 2 talents left. I hope. Right? If I get an accident now, miss finish all already. Right? So, you're thinking, I don't have very many opportunities. So now you have an extension, maybe you can bear some fruit. You know, that tree probably is thinking, well, I better bear some fruit now or I'll get chopped down. You know, in fact, somebody told me, if you put a nail in a tree or something, you can cause the tree to bear fruit. Have you heard this kind of thing before? Maybe scare it into bearing fruit. It's like, look, this nail is a feeling of what's coming if you don't bear fruit, okay? I don't know if it works, but I suppose that I heard something like this. All right. So this tree, about to get chopped down, but got a chance, okay? But again, see, Jesus talks about this. John chapter 15, Jesus talks about this again. Okay, this one we know. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine or vine dresser. Is it vine dresser, vine dresser? Okay, we're totally confused now, all right? But let's just make him the vine dresser, okay? He's a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Right? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Pruning is, do you know what pruning is, right? Right? You cut away the unnecessary stuff so that it will bear more fruit. Now, very clear. Jesus expects us to bear fruit. Amen? Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, bear fruit. Okay, so now, many times this example, in verse 16 of John chapter 15, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and do what? Bear fruit. Okay, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be fruitful Christian. Okay, Luke chapter 12. So many, I may not be able to go through all of this, but let's just try and see what we can. Right? Peter said to him, Jesus, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? Right? And Jesus, in his infuriatingly classical manner, doesn't answer the question and proceeds to tell yet another parable. Okay? The Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household and give them their portion of food in due season? This is talking about the five talent and the 2 talent guy, right? This is a 2 and 5. You make them ruler over the household. Okay. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, okay, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and eat and drink and be drunk. Okay, so there's one servant who is wasting away his life, doesn't care. I don't know, master not coming back. And they say when the cat is away, the mouse comes out to play, right? So this is the mouse. Okay, he comes out to play. He thinks the master won't come back. Never mind one, I still got time, okay? And he does all kinds of terrible things, he squanders away his opportunity. Okay, this is what the master is going to do. Listen, very serious, okay? The master of the servant, verse 46, will come on a day when he's not looking, okay, while he's playing around, and an hour when he's not aware, Again, recurring theme. Remember 10 virgins? Same kind of theme, right? And he will cut him, and get this, he'll cut him into two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers, right? I don't know whether it's cut this way or cut this way, right? But he becomes two persons after that, or two half persons after that. Wow, very severe. How many of you ever want to be two persons? I don't think so, right? Okay, so please don't be this first careless servant, okay? But that's the second servant. And the servant who knew, verse 47, the servant who knew his master's will, he knew it, right? But did not prepare himself or do according to his will. Who is this guy? This is the one talent guy, right? He's talking about the one talent chap. Okay. He knew his master's will and did not prepare himself nor do according to his will. He shall be beaten with many stripes. So he will be punished. Okay. Remember, these are all parables. They are supposed to illustrate to us principles of the kingdom, right? So, the master expects something. So this one talent guy, he's going to get punished with many stripes. Okay. There's a third servant. This third one is the one I was talking about just now, right? He did not know, yet he committed things deserving of stripes. He shall be beaten with few stripes. So the blur guy, look, you cannot plead ignorance, right? Even if you plead ignorance, you also will be punished, although with lesser stripes. Okay. Now listen, you want to be punished with many stripes or less stripes? Which one? Don't want to be punished. That's the correct answer. I'm glad you're awake. Okay? Some of you, I want to be punished with less stripes. Please don't be so poor thing. Okay? The correct answer is don't want to be punished. Okay? These three guys. First one, outright disobedient. Second one, he knew it. But, I'm scared. I feel, I don't know, man. I don't know how to do. God, I know you want me to be fruitful, but I don't know how to do it, so I don't do it. Our third one, blur, right? Don't know what's happening, right? Right? And then he just shows up one day, exam day, okay. Then he's in trouble. All these are people you don't want to be, okay? When they tell parable, you got to realize, these are people that you don't want to be like. You want to be like the first guy, the first two, right? Who actually were faithful and they were made rulers. Okay, so this is a very good set of examples. So many I can find in Jesus' gospel preaching. So many times he talks about this that, you got to be blind not to see that this is part of the theme of the kingdom, okay? So, let me see where I am now and quickly make time. Okay, so last. To whom much is given, much is required. You heard this before? Right? It's from the Bible. To whom much is given, much will be required. Well, some of you might be thinking just now, I think I'm a 5-talent guy. Listen, 5-talent is good. 10-talent is good. 15-talent is good. But you got to think about your ROI. Right? Much is given, much is required. So I want to talk about fruitfulness and kingdom of God, right? Because now we have heard the parable, we understand the principles, there's one question that remains. Big question. Remember when I said all this parable, they're supposed to make you ask a question. In this particular parable, at least group of parables, the question is, what is a fruit? Right? You show up in the kingdom of heaven, and the Lord says to you, son, you've lived a long life. You've been vested with many opportunities. Show me the fruit. And you take out one durian. Wrong fruit. Okay? So what is the Bible talking about? What's this fruit? Yes, I want to be fruitful, but is it banana, apple, right? What fruit is it that I'm supposed to produce? Now, the Bible talks about fruit in different ways. Okay? But actually, they're all one same theme. I'm going to just look at a few verses, starting from Matthew chapter 3 and verse 70. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, right? But when he saw this John the Baptist, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to come, flee from the wrath to come? Actually, it was he himself. He's the one who's going around preaching, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? So when the people respond, it's like me, altar call, come to the front, then I ask you, who asked you to come to the front? Okay, very strange, okay? But anyway, he scolds them, and then this is what he says. Who want you to come? Okay, therefore, since you come, okay, since you want to enter into the kingdom of God, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Right? So the first fruit that we talk about is a fruit of repentance. Now, when we say it is a fruit of repentance, what exactly do we mean? Okay, you are walking in this direction. Okay, to repent is to turn. Right? Remember last time I talked about the word teshuvah and the word shuv in Hebrew is to turn. So when you turn, where are you turning to? You don't turn anywhere willy-nilly, right? You're turning to the direction that God wants you to live. In other words, you're not just to turn, but to to turn and obey God. So really, the fruit of repentance is actually the fruit of obedience. So the first fruit we really want to talk about is obedience. In fact, it's the last fruit. It's the only fruit, really. You know, think about it, right? It is obedience. So here, he says, you know, do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, you know. And some of them will say, well, you know, I'm just going to sail my way in the kingdom of God because I already got the, you know, in some of these talent search shows, right? You, the X Factor or something, and you perform so well, the judge will whack a button and then, you know, you get this golden ticket. Okay. Forgive me, I don't watch TV. I don't have TV at home. But I heard these things, right? The golden ticket means what? You go straight to the finals. Correct? Straight to finals. Okay. I'm sorry to tell you, the kingdom of God don't have golden ticket. Okay? There's no straight to finals. Every one of us are called to obey God. Matthew chapter 13 verse 23. Alright? Got a lot of stuff in here that you should go and read for yourself, but I'm just going to cover what we can in the time that we have, alright? He who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Okay? So, a second way of looking at the fruit is to hear the word and to understand it. Okay? Now, because you know in Luke, is to hear the word, to understand it, and the guy who builds on solid ground is the one who does it. Okay? So three things. To hear, to do it, to hear, to understand, to do. It's kind of like our KPI, right? So this thing means that when you're sitting here, you're listening to the word of God, you're gaining understanding of it, and you're going out to do it, you're bearing the fruit. God is going to look at you and say, look, you know, you had all these opportunities. Did you understand it? Yes, I understood it. Did you do it? Yes, I did it. And that's good. You know, yesterday after preaching this sermon at 6:30, right? Sorry, at 3:30, you know, during dinner time, I was walking past some old lady selling, you know, these people selling tissue paper all the time, right? So, sometimes, as Singaporeans, we are very shrewd. We look in that thing, wow, look, he's got like over $100 in that, you know, in that bag. There's so probably so many things. And you're thinking to yourself, I think this person probably earned more than me per hour, right? So don't buy tissue, right? Then I was telling to my wife, I said, hey, let's do what the Bible thing. Let's give alms, lah. You know, means just help people, right? Just out of kindness, invest something in other people. And I'm thinking, I give my wife some money, she went and bought tissue. Then I said, cannot. Now you're going to get all the credit for it in heaven, right? When you go to heaven, you say, well, this is credit to you. Okay, so when we think about doing all these things, we are thinking about not just hearing or understanding, we are thinking about doing it in any small way that you can in your life. When you do that, you're bearing fruit. Now, I want to ask you, do you think this is very difficult to do? What do you reckon? No, it's not hard to do. It's very easy to do. Because you know why? You don't need a university degree to do this. You don't need a big house or a big car to do this. Neither do you need a big bank account. Any one of us can obey God. Right? We can obey God. And the primary way of obeying God is actually to love other people. Right? To love other people. So, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8 verse 14, says, now there are those who fell among thorns, talking about seed, right? And they have heard, they go out and they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of earth and bring no fruit to maturity. So some people, they had the seed. It's growing. But they don't actually mature into something that they do. That gets choked, okay? That fruit doesn't come to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, have you heard the word today? If not, I can preach longer, right? But today you have heard the word already. With a noble and a good heart, I hope you have a noble and good heart, they keep it and bear fruit with patience. So obedience to the word of God, right? Is the fruit. You know what? I say this because you know why? When I was growing up, I got the impression that converting people is the fruit, right? How many people you convert is, you know, when you go to heaven, you pull out a string of people. Okay, all these people, these are my fruit. Okay, listen. I think there's some truth in that. Okay, there's some truth. But the primary truth is not about conversion. The primary truth is about obeying God. And the key thing about obeying God is loving people. Because you see, when you really love people, when you really touch people's lives, when you really invest your opportunities in people's lives, they will be converted. They will come to Christ because the love is so compelling, right? It's not just about going out and get a statistical, wow, I hit my target like salesman like that, right? I got my sales target, okay? It's about obeying God. So I think the key expression of bearing fruit is actually faith and obeying God, obedience to God, okay? John chapter 15, okay, a few more, and John chapter 15, verse 8, okay? It says, by this my Father is glorified. How is the Father glorified? That you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Okay? See? This stuff, by the way, I'm literally reading from the words of Jesus. I almost don't have to add my own stuff, okay? So Jesus says that this is how you glorify God. Verse 12, let me see what it says here. It says, these things I have spoken to you that your joy may remain you and you may, your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I love you. Okay, so, very simple, okay? The fruits of the kingdom are basically faith and obedience. When faith and obedience is mature, it becomes a fruit. The fruit looks like good works. It looks like loving your neighbor as yourself. It looks like bending over and caring for people, investing your life in people. This is important, okay? This is actually very important. So, in closing, one last parable. I'm trying to cover so many parables, so after this, none of you can tell God that you don't know. You can try and tell God you don't know, but I have proof that you know, because I got everything recorded on CD, right? So, this last parable comes from Luke chapter 16 and verse 1 to 2, okay? Luke chapter 16. I can't find Luke. What happened to my Luke? Oops. Luke chapter 16. Okay, here we go. This rich man has a steward, okay? And, well, obviously, he has many servants. And this particular steward was a poor performer. An accusation, someone accused him that he was wasting his master's goods. In other words, he was squandering away his opportunities. So now the master says to him, I'm going to fire you, okay? You better give me an account because you can no longer be my steward. You're about to be fired, okay? So, message comes to this steward, was, you know, not a very good performer, kind of wasting his opportunities. Now, there apparently was a short period of time between him getting this message and him actually getting dismissed, right? So there was a short period of time. During this period of time, he said to himself, you know what? I better do something, okay? I mean, I'm almost out of time. I better do something. And that's what he decided to do. He called out all his master's debtors, okay, people who owe his master money, and he decides to cancel their accounts, not cancel, but to give them a huge discount. He reduced their debt. I mean, this guy is shrewd, okay, not very, well, I guess questionable strategy, but he was calling them one by one. Okay, how much do you owe my master? Oh, 100 talents, okay, well, let's cut it down to 80, something like this. Now, I want you to imagine. Imagine you're one of those debtors. How would you feel? How would you feel? We all love a discount, right? You Singaporeans. You love a discount, don't you? I think sometimes the shop just purposely make the price higher so, just so he can tell you you're getting a discount, right? Right? We all love a discount. You feel great. I mean, they were touched. They're probably thinking, I don't know what I've done to deserve this, but thank you. Thank you so much. Because of your discount, I can now send my daughter to school, right? Because of your discount, now tonight, I can go home and I can sleep in peace. Because of a discount, maybe tonight my wife will give me, you know, a hard time about earning more money. I think they were very touched. Okay, the method was questionable, but I think the effects were good. Would you agree? I think the people were very touched. You know, I go to the Coffee Bean in Holland sometimes, right? And, you know, I kind of got to know the one managers there. And every now and then I'll just bring something, a chocolate or something. Just give the manager, just out of, you know, kindness. This manager was very touched. And as a result, I was very touched because, you know, every time I go, I get 10% discount. Right? Seriously, right? Sometimes I order a drink and then when the receipt comes, no drink, it's not charged because it's on her own staff tab. So this is very good. This is very good discount, right? Okay, now she's transferred away. So, but not because of this, okay? Not because of this, right? But it's good to receive it. So these guys, they were receiving this discount. They must have been feeling great. Okay? So this guy was thinking, you know what? I'm investing in them. At the very least, they will like me. Right? They will be touched by the love, or not love in this case, by his shrewdness. Okay. After this, something very interesting happens. Because when master comes back, he actually commends the guy. Okay, this is what the master said. So the master commended. Commended means praise. Just like, you good and faithful steward. That is commendation, right? Now, I don't think that was a commendation he actually received. But he nevertheless got a commendation because the master was impressed. The Bible says, because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generations than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Take your limited, finite riches, invest them in something eternal. Love relationship with people. You know, love somebody. So that these things, when you bring to heaven, you go to heaven, you'll be able to bring them with you. Okay, so the master comment. What was his commendation? I don't know. Maybe his commendation was like, well, you know what? You're a pretty bad servant. Okay, you squandered away, wasted. But you know one thing you got right. Okay, that very last moment, you didn't give up. You actually went and did something, and actually it was quite a smart thing to do. So he got a commendation. Now we are not told whether he was fired or not in the end, right? But I think I'm very hopeful about this, because you know why? This guy is us. It's many of us. Because the truth is, most of us have not intentionally gone about investing our life. We are just sailing through life, wondering what's happening, right? But now suddenly we realize, oh, time is running out. And we have a final opportunity to invest our life. My advice to you is invest wisely, okay? Reconsider your investment strategy today. I mean, you can be investing in all kinds of things, but make sure that you invest in things that last eternally. And by the way, this is also Jesus' teaching, right? That you do not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust will destroy, where thieves will break in and steal, but invest them in eternal things. What are eternal things? These things. By loving people, by touching the life of some people with the love of God, you are investing, right? So you multiply your fruit by touching the life of people, others, with the love of God. Amen? So it's really not that hard to do, right? Do you think you can do something you could do? I think so. I think we can all do it. In fact, it will be very difficult to come up with a reason or an excuse for not doing it. Can you imagine you show up in the kingdom of God and say, Lord, you know what? I built an empire out of my company, right? And Lord, you know, you gave me all these things. I didn't do any bad things to anyone, okay? Lord, just to be sure, I didn't rob anyone. I didn't kill anyone. You know, I didn't cheat anyone. I was just doing my own business, minding my own business. Lord, what's my reward? You know what? He might just say to you, you wicked and lazy servant. You didn't invest at all. You invested in all the wrong things, right? Because if you had invested, you would have said, you know what? All these opportunities you gave me, I touched somebody's life with your love. I reached out that branch. I bore fruit. And the branch became a blessing to other people. That is the purpose. So the gospel summary is this. The gospel is forward looking. It always looks at the end. The final harvest is always in view. It doesn't matter which parable you read about Jesus. You always get this feeling that the end is always in view. However, the end is in view not so that you can escape to the end. The end is in view in order to inform you how you behave in the present. This is the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is like this. What you do today actually matters. Some people think what I do today doesn't matter because I'm going to go to heaven anyway. Wrong. That's not what Jesus teaches. If you have read all the parables, you will get this very strong sense that what you do today matters. Because, you know, even the prayer that your kingdom will come on earth right here, right now, as it is in heaven, correct? So Jesus' gospel connects the future reality, the future realization with the present. In fact, right now, the kingdom of God is already in your midst. So we already have to live as if, you know, God is here. In fact, because He is here, right? This is the first thing. Now matters as much as then, okay? When you go to heaven, you don't go and tell God, I sang a lot of songs. Listen, heaven is for eternity. You have a lot of time to sing songs, okay? You will sing until your tongue go tired. Because an eternity is often a long time, okay? You have a lot of time to shake your legs. Shake until your leg drop off also can. But they only have a very short time to invest your life right now in touching the life of people. So make sure you invest well. Second of all, the kingdom of God takes place at the intersection between your relationship with God on one hand and your relationship with other people on the other hand. Right? You only have relationship with people, you don't have relationship with God, no kingdom of heaven. You have relationship with God, no relationship with people, also no kingdom of God. But when you have both, at the intersection where those two happens, when God's love touches you and you touch someone else with God's love, at that point, that's when the kingdom of God actually happens. You understand this? So you must make sure that you are in that place, where you are in touch with God on one hand, and you are in touch with the world on the other hand. That makes you a priest, a royal priesthood. Because that's what a priest does. A priest stands in between, you see, right? So you are touching God on one hand, and touching people with the other hand, and you become the channel of God's love and blessing. Then, you are the priest, you are the royal priesthood, you are fulfilling the kingdom of God, okay? So, don't just bury you. Whatever you do, please don't just bury your opportunities. God has given you some opportunities. Sometimes those opportunities look like inconveniences. But if you look with eyes of faith, right, take some risk. Convert those opportunities into something that glorifies God. Okay? So invest your life. Third of all, the kingdom of God is about grace. God loves us. His grace is freely available to all of us. However, I don't think anyone who reads the words of Jesus carefully can escape the fact that there is a component of responsibility. I think it's almost impossible to avoid that. You know, preachers who preach that, sometimes I wonder if they actually read their Bible, right? Because if you read the words of Jesus, not even Paul, okay? Just Jesus' words alone, you cannot get away from the fact that Jesus is saying that God expects us to be fruitful. That's an expectation, that's an accountability. Now, some people say, but Pastor, will we be judged whether we enter into the kingdom of God by the fruit or whether it's just a matter of how much reward you get? Look, I don't get into all those debates, okay? What is clear to me is that God expects fruitfulness, then you don't ask so many questions, you just be fruitful lah, and let God deal with what happens with it. But for us, understand this, if you know the Master expects fruit, then please don't show up empty-handed, right? Don't even show up and pretend you don't know, because now you know. Okay? Amen? Okay, so, I guess the final question that I leave with is, what are you doing with your God-given opportunities today? So after listening to all this, you know, we've gone through so many, right? We've talked about, you know, being passionate for God, selling all to purchase the great treasure, the pearl of great price, right? We've talked about being a mustard tree, reaching out. We've talked about not being like a monkey. We've talked about celebrating God's grace. We've talked about so many things. At the end of it, what is the purpose of all these parables of the kingdom? Really, to ask us this question, what are you doing with your God-given opportunities today? That's the big question, right? If you are an investor, spiritual investor, what kind of investor are you? Are you a no-risk investor, right? You're not doing anything with it, then might as well not give you anything, right? But since God has entrusted with you with something, here's the question you ask yourself. If today you were to meet Jesus Christ, you stand before Him, what will you bring? Now, if some of you think you're a bit worried, if I see Jesus today, I might have nothing. Okay, look, listen. You know what's the good news? How many of you want to know the good news? You want to know the good news is, you're not going to see Jesus Christ today yet. You still have an opportunity to do something like it. Like this guy, right? So, because you haven't yet, invest well. Amen? Amen? Okay. Wow. It's the end. Okay. We've come to the end of the long series. But, having gone through this series, you've actually listened to the majority of what Jesus actually taught His disciples. I want you to think about this. Because frankly, outside there, you hear a lot of stuff people say, which has nothing to do with what Jesus said. You read Jesus' words alone, you come to a particular picture of what the gospel is. Right? And I hope that this series has helped you to see, not what I think, not even what famous pastors think, but what the Bible says. And I pray that this will change your life. It will transform your life. Because you know what? You'll be living out the kingdom of God. And you know what? I'm praying that when the final exam comes, right? Can I just say to you, no matter what, can you please don't show up empty-handed? Okay? Don't show up. When God asks you, what have you brought? Please don't say, nothing. Okay? Wrong answer. Please don't do that. You know why? Because if you do that, then God is going to ask me, Daniel, didn't you teach them? Say, I did. I told them not to say that. Okay, so listen. Please don't say that. You'll get me into trouble. Okay? My grading will depend on your performance. Okay? So please, for my sake, right, and the sake of blessing the world, can you please go out and invest your life and touch somebody's life with the love that God has given you? Amen? Can you do that? Okay, we're finished already, alright? So, we're going to pray But I pray that you have also learned something. And of course, we have other teachings, but you know, we're going to pray that God will actually... It's the end for me, but it's the beginning for you. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this long series that we have. Look at the history of the background of the New Testament, the writing of the books, some introduction to the four Gospels and the themes therein. And then now, Lord, we've looked at so many of your words and your teachings concerning the kingdom of God and parables, the 12, 13 parables, as well as other parables beside. We've covered so much of, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will give understanding to our hearts, Lord, and cause us now to become people who hear, who understand, and who obey your word, and thus bear fruit. So, Father, we pray today you make us a fruitful church. That Church of Savior, though we can be known for many things, we will be known above all for loving people, Lord. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.